Prophets and prophecies. There are many men and women that have claimed to be prophets or be telling prophecies or to be prophets of God. But are or were they really prophets of God as they claim to be? Fortunately, there is a way to know if a man or a woman is a prophet of God. In the Old Testament of the Bible, there was a prophet of God named Jeremiah. And in his writings, he wrote a very simple truth on how to know if a prophet is from God or not. And that's found in a book in the Old Testament called by his name in Jeremiah, and in the 28th chapter and in the 9th verse. And let me read that. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. So in other words, what Jeremiah is telling us here is a very simple truth, that if what a prophet says is going to happen, actually does happen, you can be sure that God sent that prophet. And this is why we can be absolutely positive that the prophets that wrote concerning the Messiah were indeed prophets. Every detail of their prophecies actually did happen. Not just some or a part, but every single word. Many people consider the book called the Bible to be a book of cunningly devised fables or fairy tales. This could not be farther from the truth. The Bible contains the writing of men who were moved to speak and write by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, whichever you'd like to call it, of God. And you can find that the Apostle Peter wrote in his second letter, or 2 Peter, which is contained in the New Testament. And let me read that for you. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, speaking to the brethren at this time that existed back there. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, whichever you'd like to use in there. But Peter makes us a good point there. The Scriptures are not a private interpretation. And these men did not make up their own stories. They were moved by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the book called the Bible took over 1,600 years. When it first began to be written until it was finished, the last book that was written, which was, I believe, Revelation, there was over a period of 1,600 years that passed, and there were over 40 different authors. They didn't know each other. They didn't live at the same time on this earth, but yet their writings do not contradict, and they can be proven to be absolutely true. In fact, you know, there is more proof that Jesus, the Messiah, walked the face of this earth than there is that George Washington was the President of the United States. Well, let's look at some more of the prophecies concerning Jesus, the Messiah of God. You know, there was a prophet of God named Micah, and he lived about 700 to 800 years before the Messiah was born and came to this earth. And he prophesied where the Messiah would be born, and he also in this prophecy prophesied that the Spirit of the Messiah, or his spirit, his being, existed before the earth was created. You know, we can find this prophecy in the Old Testament in a book called by the prophet's name, and that is in Micah, the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse. And Micah writes, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting." So Micah writes that it's going to be in Bethlehem is where the Messiah is going to be born and where he's going to come out from. But we also find here too that he lets us know something about the Messiah. That his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He has always been. Well, we can find the fulfilling of the first part of the prophecy is recorded by the apostle of the Messiah, who was named Matthew, in the New Testament, in the book called by his name. And in Matthew, in the second chapter, in verses 1 through 5, and let me read that to you. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, or Messiah, should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And as we read here in the second chapter, this confirms that indeed he was to be born in Bethlehem. And we know, and as we read on down, that those wise men went to the city of Bethlehem and they found Jesus, the Messiah, in a manger with his mother and father, as a star had led them to him. And in the second part of the prophecy here, speaking about how that he was from old and from everlasting, we can find the fulfilling of that recorded by the Apostle John in the New Testament book called by his name. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to go ahead and kind of skip on down to 14, but you can read them all. I'm just trying to pull the main points out of there. So John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." So here he tells us that in the beginning, from the very beginning of everlasting and old, that the Word was already there. And we know that it's speaking about Jesus here, because down in verse 14 it tells us that. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John here confirming that Jesus was indeed the Son of God and the Messiah lets us know that he was already here from the very beginning, and that he was from old and from everlasting, and indeed he was known in heaven as the Word. And then when he came down here, he put on flesh and was named Jesus. So very special Messiah that Jesus is. He existed before the world was made, and in fact, he took part in the making of it. And we can confirm that by going to Moses' record of creation in the book of Genesis. And that book is in the Old Testament. And I'm just going to read from verse 26. But if you start from verse 1, we find how it is that God created the world and what was made first and which day it was made on and etc. But as we read down into verse 26, we find God says this. "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." And what did God say? He said, "Let us make man in our image." Now the world is just being made. And here God is beginning to create the world. And we find out that there's more than God himself there, because he says, let us. And us lets us know that there was a plurality of personages or beings or spirits. It's kind of hard for us to put a name to it, since God is not flesh as we are. But he did. And then we know that that word, who was there at the time of creation, as we can see this confirmed in the book of Genesis, you know, came down here, put on the flesh. And we find that, yes, indeed, he was there. And in fact, there were three that were there if we went back to examine the scriptures there in Genesis. We have God, who is creating the world. Okay? Then we have the Holy Spirit of God, or the Holy Ghost of God, that moved upon the face of the water. That's two. And then we have the Word, who would someday, you know, farther into the future from that point in time, come down to this earth and put on the flesh, be born of a virgin, be known and be the Son of God, and his name would be Jesus. Another prophet of God named Zechariah, who lived about 500 years before the Messiah, prophesies how the Messiah would ride upon an ass into Jerusalem to become the king of God's kingdom, and that he would also bring salvation to mankind. And we can find that prophecy in the Old Testament in a book which is called by the prophet's name, in Zechariah, the chapter 9 and verse 9. And he writes and he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So here the prophet tells us that this king is going to be lowly, and he's going to come riding into Jerusalem upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. But he also tells us too that he's also going to be bringing salvation. So we have a couple of different things that he's letting us know here in this prophecy. And we can find the fulfilling of the first part of that prophecy. And we'll turn again to the New Testament. And we'll go to the book of Matthew, which is, of course, is the Apostle Matthew's record of Jesus being here upon this earth and what he did, what he said. And in Matthew, the 21st chapter, starting in verse 1, Matthew writes, "And when they had drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him, Jesus, thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So here we find again the fulfilling of a prophecy that was written by a man hundreds of years before it came to pass. And we can find the second part of that prophecy fulfilled also. And we'll turn to another apostle's writing. His name was Mark, and that is also in the New Testament in the book called by his name, which is Mark. And I'm going to read the verse 9. And then I'm going to skip on down and read verses 14 and 15. And of course, you can read all the verses in between. But I'm just going to go ahead and make the main points that are there. And in Mark 16 and 9, it says, Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So where we are right now is Jesus had already had died upon the cross. They had taken his body and laid it in a sepulcher. And we that would have started when he was being crucified, I believed, on a Friday. And now we're at the first day of the week. Friday, of course, being the sixth day, Saturday being the seventh, and rolling around to the first day, which is the day that we called Sunday. But we find that he was risen early on the first day of the week. So it was a Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. But he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 14 because it tells us that afterward he appeared unto the 11. Well, there's only 11 apostles now because Judas has taken and gone and hung himself. So there's only 11. And as they sat at meat, he appeared to them and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So he was bringing salvation. And you can find that he says that. Everybody, he tells his apostles, go and preach the gospel. Go and preach these words that I've given to you. To every creature on this earth, whether they're Jew or Gentile. And he that believeth, believes what? The gospel. And is baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not, the gospel, shall be damned. So we can find that, again, prophecies, men who wrote hundreds and hundreds of years before it came to pass, the exact things that they said happened, not just part, not just a little bit, but every single thing that they said came to pass is exactly as they had written it. Prophets of God, proof that the book called the Bible contains words that can save man's soul. Well, in part 3 of Messiah's Prophesied, we'll be looking at more prophecies of the Messiah and his message and his purpose. So please, take the time to listen and to hear more.